I'm really thrilled that we have Larry Brown with us this morning to share. I learned something just a little bit ago that he sang at a lot of different people's weddings, so we'll have to have him back for special music. That day's passed. Well, we'll take a vote on it and decide. I'll talk to your wife and see what she says. Larry, as most of you know, Larry, you know, in growing up part of the church, but about 1 month ago, if you were following or paying any attention, the Holy Spirit began to move at Asbury University, and I was watching and following that closely, and Larry is also chair of the Board of Trustees at Asbury University. And so I think not long after I discovered you were there, I started trying to reach out to him saying, would you come share what he experienced as part of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as well as he can give us a perspective from an administrative side as well. So I am thrilled to have Larry share this.
I come with a heart full of gratitude as I come home, if you will. I am grateful for parents that carried me into this church. Not this building, down over the hill, many, many years ago, late 50s. I'm grateful that it was through the ministry of many people that are here, many people that have gone into the presence of Jesus, that I was given the opportunity to understand what it meant to be a Christian. It's almost 51 years. It'll be 51 years on June 6th of this year that I accepted the Lord as Savior at a little place called Jamonville. You all know of that. I can take you to the kneeling rail where I decided intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, yes, Lord, you are my Lord. I said, I do to the Lord. I said, I do to my wife, Lisa, right here on this platform. So the I do's of my life are tied to Concord Methodist Church. And so it is a privilege for me to be here. And thank you for taking time to be here as well. As Pastor mentioned, the Lord has done a wonderful thing, is doing a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit has come upon groups of people, and it started, at least with our track, at Asbury University. We were pleased with that. But from the very beginning, we noted it is a God thing, not an Asbury thing. And so we hold on to it humbly, with palms open, and allow the Lord to do what the Lord would do. We really didn't know what label to put on it, but others have put labels on it. Revival, awakening, outpouring, visitation of the Holy Spirit. We didn't know what to call it. Our president, Kevin Brown, not related. Kevin Brown's the president. He stood early days and he said, we don't know what to call this. We're not going to label it anything. It's going to be an experience. Time will tell what actually happens here and the results thereof. He cited from John chapter 9 where the man that was born blind was being quizzed by the Pharisees. Who is he? Referring to Jesus. Who is he? Is he a prophet? Is he a sinner? He was healing on Sunday. They quizzed the man. They quizzed his parents. They came back to the man, and the man finally said, I don't know who he is. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. So we don't know what label to put on what had broken out at Asbury back on February 8th, but we're allowing the Lord to continue to use it. Let me give you a little bit of a lexicon that I'll make reference to. Asbury University now was Asbury College. We changed the name, 15 years ago, something like that. Asbury University is where I did my undergrad work. Across the street from Asbury University is Asbury Theological Seminary, and you all benefit from that seminary in that Pastor John and Pastor Chris are both graduates of the seminary. It was an outgrowth of the college 100 years ago. In fact, they're celebrating their centennial this year. I also talk about Gen Z, Generation Z. You've heard the XYZ, whatever names we put on it, but different generations. And Gen Z, those that were born late 90s into the 2000s, I think they cut it off around 2010 as far as that group. That is a group that are students now. That is a group that have been through tremendous upheaval, turmoil. They're the ones that have gone to school, go to school, and have, what do you call them, gunfire in the building, shots fired, drills, what to do. They've been through COVID that has messed up their expectation for high school and college. But Gen Z, they've been through a lot. Well, set the scene. Asbury University has chapel three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's mandatory that you participate, so everyone shows up there in Hughes Auditorium, the chapel. This particular semester, their theme is Love in Action. And they are learning and studying Romans 12 through 14, Paul's letter to the Romans and instruction, chapters 12 through 14. If you look at the New International Version, I know, at just before verse 9 of chapter 12, you'll see that paragraph is headed, Love in Action. And that is where the title came from. So they've been learning through that, and there have been people preaching and speaking on that. On Wednesday, February 8th, a fellow by the name of Zach, who's a Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor, but also a volunteer assistant soccer coach at Asbury, it was his day to speak. And he spoke from Romans 12, 9 through 21. 13 verses. There are 30 commands that Paul lists in those 13 verses. I'd encourage you to read it when you have the opportunity. Pull some of those. He said, love without hypocrisy. Be devoted in brotherly love. Be at peace with all. And do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with love. And Zach spoke, and it was just sort of a normal chapel message. He's a young guy and sort of quirky in some of the things that he does and says. But he finished that, and chapel was over, and the worship team stayed, and they were singing a little bit. Zach went off the platform, sent his wife a text, and said, well, there was another stinker. That one didn't go very well. Well, those students that stayed, 20 or 30 of them stayed and continued to sing, giving praise to the Lord. They were praying with each other. One young man began to confess a sin that had captured him in his life. He repented of that. People prayed over him, and they kept singing, and they kept praying. And students that had gone to class at 11 o'clock or gone to the cafeteria, some of them came back to Hughes, the auditorium, and there was something special. There was an aroma there. The Holy Spirit was there in a significant and real way. And so word went out around campus that literally some of them ran to classes where students were in classes and said, come to Hughes, revival has come. And by the afternoon, several hundred students had come back into the chapel, and the singing and the praying, the repenting, the confessing had continued. So administration then was made aware something was going on. And what happened was for the next 16 days, the Lord's presence in that place, on that campus, among that student body, and as you'll hear, many, many others, broke out in a very unique and special way. The themes that came through what Zach had preached about, and then what later came to be as this event moved forward, was radical love, radical humility, radical compassion, radical hospitality. What should we be known as Christians? Loving, hospitable, compassionate, humble. Those were the attributes that were coming out throughout. As it moved forward, it was mentioned many times from the platform, there are no rock stars here, just Jesus. There are no rock stars, just Jesus. They also decided there should be no titles. No full names, that anybody that spoke would just give a first name, if that at all. And so there was great humility. I had to chuckle. I ended up there. It started on Wednesday. I was there Friday through Sunday, immediately after that. And I had a little chuckle when the president of the university stepped to the microphone and said, "Hi, I'm Kevin, and I work here." And then he went on. And that's all he said. There's no, "I'm the president of the university, I'm controlling this." As they moved through the 2 weeks, there would be great opportunity, you would think, for the president to take charge. This is, "I'm the president, look to me, I'm going to manage how this moves forward." He didn't do that. It was a relatively small group of people that would get together at every couple hours, pray, and consider what the Lord would have happen in the next couple hours as they looked forward. There were celebrity pastors that showed up. There were celebrity worship leaders that showed up. They were all welcomed and thanked for coming. But this is not to make you famous. This is for the Lord to do his work. And so no celebrities were brought on. Asbury wanted this to be about the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so social media, where we send out things on Facebook and Instagram and so forth, any attempt to bring students to Asbury, we shut that down. None of that went on for the 2.5 weeks. We shut down all fundraising for those several weeks as well. This was the Lord's doing, and Asbury did not want to profit from it. The focus throughout was on Gen Z, that generation, the students basically 25 years of age and under. Although others became aware and others came, there was always special dispensation given to the Gen Z. We wanted the Asbury students and the students that came from other colleges and universities to have the opportunity to meet the Lord in that place at that time. So they were always moved to the front, put at the front of the line, and we'll see about the line. There was a video that was put together, and this isn't me trying to not talk. My family has told me, as they knew I was speaking, that I could certainly talk for the amount of time allotted. This is not me trying to get out of talking, but I want you to hear from Gen Z students who experienced this and what the Lord did in their life on that campus and will do around the world. So Merle, if you would, play the video, please.
Any other stories come to mind? Just someone who's like had this like huge like revelation, change of heart, being affected in some way. There's something you know or something you've heard about.
Yeah. Can I think for like just a second?
Yeah.
Because there's so many.
This encounter with the Holy Spirit started is a group of students didn't want to stop worshiping, and then they received the Holy Spirit in honesty and in genuineness, and they started sharing their testimonies, and then it didn't stop.
I walked into the chapel and saw a bunch of students worshiping together very intimately. It just, everyone was crying, hands were in the air. It was just showcasing the love of God in so many ways that I had kind of forgotten about. And I remember I was with a friend and we were standing in the doorway, and I turned to him and I said, "I don't know what they have, but whatever it is, I want this."
Our world is dark. And our students are hurting, and they're lonely, they're angry, they're desperate. And so they've been praying for change. And we've had a lot of great moments on our campus, great chapel services, great speakers, great intentionality, great prayer meetings. And I think after the service, on this just regular chapel day, God just started working in their hearts, and he's been working in their hearts, but they were obedient to it.
You know, when you think about how did this start? It was nothing anybody did. It was nothing Asbury did. It was nothing that Zach Meerkreeps did. It was nothing that any student did. You know, I believe that it was just a pure and a deep cry for more of God's Spirit that these students had. And look where it's gotten us. And so we have people from all over the world now.
I was one of the people who stayed immediately after the chapel service. So we had kind of a soft ending. We said people are allowed to continue to worship. But I just continued to sit in my seat and pray and just reflect on who God was. Went to my 12 o'clock class, and then when I got out of class, I heard the singing, and I said, okay, that's weird. Why is this still continuing? So I went back up, and it was surreal. The peace that was in the room was unexplainable, and a couple buddies and I just went to run around to the different classrooms and barged in on classes and said, revival's happening.
There's been a ton of healing from church hurt and from various traumatic events. There's physical healings. There's been calls that cancer's gone. But then beyond that, something that's, like, I think extremely incredible is, I know this campus very well. It's small. We're less about, I guess, at 1,000 students. And I know exactly which people on this campus hate each other. And those are the people that I have seen praying together, singing together, hugging, crying. Like, I myself have had a list of least favorite people at this school, and I have spent the week with them. And it's been, like, totally life-changing.
For some, it is freedom for the first time. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from desperation, maybe. For some, it's freedom from addiction or whatever that may be. And for others, it might be a first-time commitment or really a first-time understanding of who God truly is. And for some, they're just praying for their families, that addiction would be broken in the lives of their family members. So it is however the Lord is working in their individual hearts.
God has a plan of redemption for our world, but God works in the lives of people, and He can bring healing, and He can bring peace in the midst of really challenging and difficult things. He's reaching out to a lost and broken people, and He's inviting them into His presence and into His peace and into His love and community here on campus, and people just can't get enough of it.
I feel like the first couple of days, I've just felt so much joy. Like, when I'm singing, I just can't help but, like my mouth hurts, my jaw hurts. I'm just smiling ear to ear and just being filled with so much joy. And I've never really liked praying out loud in front of people, but I just felt so, like, bold in that, like, to pray for people and allowing God to use me just to speak through me to people for what they need to hear.
I used to have a really big shame about prayer. I never used to want to pray near people, pray out loud. I had a big shame about how I sounded when I prayed. I thought I had to sound like this perfect pastor with these poetic words. That rooted itself in me at a young age. And Jesus, like, just broke that shame of how I felt and how I had put my personal image above what Jesus says about me. And Jesus says that I'm His son and I'm beloved, and that my purpose in this life is to just love Him and to praise Him.
People have been reminded about the goodness of God and that His presence is special, that it's holy. And I think a lot of the transformation has been refocusing on Jesus. And some people have gotten healed and some people have come to Christ, which are things we celebrate, but I think a lot of the times we are just so caught up in our schedules that we forget that God is always moving, and I think He's starting to intervene here.
I really think that this is just my generation and all generations just crying out for truth in a world that teaches relative truth and that there is no truth. There is absolutely truth. He is truth. There is truth in His Word, and He's answering our prayers. This isn't just going to end and everything's going to go back to normal. Like, this is changing our culture. This is changing our society. This is changing our world.
The Holy Spirit's here, and it's incredible of what we're all learning. And our younger generation, I'm only 18 years old, and I feel like that this opportunity now has created a way of the type of man that I want to be and the type of person that I want to contribute to society. And I feel like that's what's happening, that we're learning all these good lessons and bonding so much with the Holy Spirit that this is creating a new wave of all young people that are going to impact our country and the world.
You can experience revival in any place. It doesn't have to be in a chapel. It doesn't have to be, you know, in church. It's something that you can experience every day in your life. The Holy Spirit is not contained to one place.
It's not fake. It's something that's real. And it's truly why we say, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't truly understand until you actually come and taste and see for yourself.
I mean, I've seen, like, people be healed this week. I've never thought I'd ever see that in my life. Like, we're not worshiping the healing. Like, that's great, and if God chooses to heal, that's amazing, and it's beautiful and wonderful, but we're worshiping the one who does heal.
And there's going to be commission services where we say, thank you for coming. I'm so glad you experienced and encountered the Holy Spirit. Now go to your family, go to your school, go to your church, go to your community, and tell them about it and pray for them. And it's going to happen there too. So while it will fizzle at Asbury, because it simply must at some point, I think that it will be global for a very, very long time.
Gives you a little bit of an idea. You can feel the passion in the in their voices. I've had the opportunity to meet at least three of the students that you saw there, talked to them recently, just last week. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing the Lord's done in their lives. But you heard them say, the Spirit is here, the Spirit can work anywhere. And they commissioned, we commission people to go back out. A little more of the story. Merle, yeah, brought up there, here are the some pictures from inside Hughes Auditorium, which seats about 1,500 people, something like that. In the days that I was there, it was very early on, and the word was getting out, and people were coming from all over. It was standing room only. There was some concern about those balconies that had been built in 1929 as to how many people we could allow up there. Fortunately, the fire marshal came to our rescue and said that we couldn't have any more people in the building than there were seats for those people. And so for the rest of the several weeks that we were gathering down there, there was a limitation, which led to an overflow situation. We'll see. Merle, take us to the next slide. Here are these students. Not only were they all around the chapel and was there prayer going on all over the chapel, but a lot of important decisions were made right here. Students came forward and were prayed over. There was a team of people that received a little bit of training. They were the prayer team. They had a lanyard that designated them. Somebody would come, and if they wanted somebody to pray with them, that happened. But what happened right here? Well, what happened? Salvation. There were students and other people that were drawn to the Lord for the very first time. There were recommitments that happened here. There was a commitment to a deeper walk with the Lord, to allow the Spirit to indwell going forward. There were healings that happened here, spiritual healings certainly, but also physical and emotional, relational healings that happened right here. There was also relief from demonic forces, from burdens that students and others were carrying. You remember this Gen Z, what Gen Z has been through. There is anxiety, there is depression, there were addictions that people wanted to be released from Satan's hold. There was a lot of discussion and hurt around sexual abuse that had happened. There were addiction issues that needed to be dealt with. Alcohol and drugs, pornography among our young people. Frankly, among our whole nation as well. But pornography among our young people is a major issue. And so there were people that were freed and released from these types of things. How did this go on? What was the cadence, you might ask? Well, there were periods, extended periods of singing. And during that time of singing, people would be at the altar. People were being prayed for around. Every once in a while, then, someone would come onto the platform and say, "Hi, my name is Kevin, and I work here." Or, "My name is Zach," and go on. And they would suggest, one might be, that if you're carrying a particular burden with regards to your family and family relationships, stand up if you'd like to be prayed for. And people would stand up all over the auditorium, and then the folks would be asked, for those of you that are around those people that are standing, move towards them, lay hands on them, or as close as you can get to them, and pray over them that there might be healing within their family, or there might be healing for some other or some other need that they might have. Then we'd sing a little more. And then there would be a time where people would be given the opportunity to read a portion of Scripture. If the Lord laid on your heart a portion of Scripture, come and read it. And other times there would be opportunity for testimony. What has the Lord done in your life here? And it was the ABCs. It needed to be about Christ. It needed to be brief. And it needed to be current, talking about what was going on. I thought that was a great way of introducing testimonies, because testimonies can be somebody's story from a long time ago. No, we were focused on what was going on, what the Lord was doing in that moment. One of the most moving times for me was on Sunday morning. People had been encouraged, go to your church. I mean, this was going on 24/7, around the clock. But people were encouraged to go to your church on Sunday morning. Well, I was in from out of town. Didn't have a church that I was going to, so I went back to Hughes and I walked in, and there were probably 200 people in Hughes, scattered about, in the balconies, on the floor, one or two people here, scattered around. There was a young lady that was on the platform, and she had an acoustical guitar, and she was just softly playing. And then Zach, the guy that had preached on that previous Wednesday, came up and said, why don't we take some time and just have people read psalms or portion of the psalm that the Lord might have laid on your heart. And it was beautiful to sit there and hear God's word, the psalms of praise, the psalms of lament, and so forth, being read in a very orderly yet not planned way. And that probably went on for half hour, maybe 40 minutes. What a blessing that was. Let me put one little caveat on there. I was standing at the back of the auditorium at that point in time, and I saw a young man I didn't recognize. He was inside. He had his winter coat on. It was cold outside, but he had his winter coat on and zipped up, and he was walking up and down one of the aisles, and he was obviously troubled. Just the look on his face, the body language that he had, he was rubbing his fingers together like this. He was troubled. Well, I was on alert. Something is up with this guy, and I'm not sure that it's all for good. I just don't know. A little bit later, he was still walking around. I went down front. I was going to encourage one of the women that was helping to lead. Before I got to her, another man stepped and started a conversation with her, so I just stood back. While I'm standing back, this young man walks up the stairs onto the platform. And I'm thinking, okay, we've got a problem here. Well, Jeannie, the woman that I was going to speak with, saw that. He walked right past her, and she got up and engaged him in conversation. What are you doing? What's going on? And he really couldn't explain. She finally talked him back down. Well, I stepped up to the platform so that she could see that I was there and knew what was happening. And he came down off of the platform. Jeannie said to me, I think he might be up to no good. We didn't know. He went over and stood against the wall, and I went over and stood against the wall beside him for the next 45 minutes or so, trying to engage him in conversation. First of all, trying to find out, is he a student? What's his name? Where does he live? Since nobody seemed to know him, I wanted to know who he was. And so we talked for 45 minutes in very short increments. Most of it was silence. And then he said to me, I want to go and sit down. And I said, Matt, let me pray for you. So I prayed for him. And then he, after I finished, he said, can I pray for you? Sure. So he prayed for me. And then he went and sat down, and I kept an eye on him a little bit more. I left that night, or that afternoon, I left. And the next day, I found out from Jeannie that he had come back to the chapel that evening and had an encounter with God that allowed him to be released of whatever was binding him, was holding him. And Jeannie said when he stood up, he was a completely different person. God had released him. God had healed him from whatever was constraining him and binding him. What a beautiful time it was. Well, this was a little different. Asbury has had revivals like this multiple times over its history, starting in 1905, and there have been eight of them that we can refer back to that went on, unplanned, but went on for multiple days. This one was different, though. This one was different from the perspective that in the old days, the last significant week-long revival like this was back in 1970. Well, back in 1970, I was there as a student later that decade. But the way the word spread back then was you'd have to go back to the dorm, go to the payphone that hung on the wall in the hallway of your dorm, put a dime in, make a call, or call collect if you were calling home. Right, Mom and Dad? That's the way we did that. And that's how the word spread. But those students, as they sat in Hughes Auditorium, what do they have in their hands? They have their phone. How does the word spread now? Boom, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. And so the world knew immediately what was going on at Asbury. So Merle, if you'd click to the next slide, please. One of the things that we ask students, those 25 and under, that came, and they came from all over the place, came to ask, we asked them to write the name of their college or university on a whiteboard, and I think there were two others. This is a picture of one. It's hard to read some of it. A scribble, you probably can't make out any of it there. But since then, there's been a woman that has been looking at this and analyzing and figuring out where students came from. We're up to 277 schools were represented by students that were drawn to Asbury University in that 16-day period. Not only were they students, it was people from all over the world. A student put together this map, and you can't follow all of the lines, but if you could, you would see that people came from Canada, from Brazil, from Africa, from Europe. There was a group of students that came from Korea, just to be present there. Merle, one more. We hit an overflow situation. There were more people. Wilmore has a population of 6,000. And the estimate on the second weekend was there were more than 20,000 people that had showed up in town. There's one restaurant. It's called Subway. Subway was out of cold cuts and in a disarray because so many people had come through the door. As you look at this picture, to the right side of the upper right from the street that you see there, that's Asbury University. On the left-hand side, lower left, that's Asbury Theological Seminary. Go one more, Merle, please. People couldn't get in. And we finally got to the point where besides what was going on in Hughes and at Asbury Seminary, there were five different venues at the seminary where we were live streaming what was going on in Hughes, in there. They just couldn't hold everybody. And so this is on what we call the semicircle. It's a park-like area in front of the chapel, in front of the university. And people here are just knelt down and praying and praising the Lord and praying together. That slide before, you couldn't see it, but there was a line there. People were waiting in line 5 and 6 hours in order to get into Hughes. Ministry was going on in that line as people were praying with each other and worshiping together. Well, we got to the point, though, where it was, how do we land this plane, if you will? God is doing a wonderful work there. But as you heard one of the students say there at the end, we wanted to commission people. Take what the Lord is doing here, what the Lord has done for you, and take it home to your churches, to your universities. And that has happened and is continuing to happen. All around the world, we're seeing people being drawn by the Holy Spirit to times of confession and praise. And we're thankful for that. But how do we land this plane? Well, 200 years ago, in 1823, the denominations in the United States and colleges and universities decided that the fourth Thursday of February would be the Collegiate Day of Prayer. And a full year ago, they had contacted Asbury University and said, we would like to have the Collegiate Day of Prayer in Hughes Auditorium and then live stream it around the world. And we agreed to that. So how do we land this plane? It's been going on for more than 2 weeks now. The last in-person session in Hughes was just for students, as it had been all that last week, just for students, and it was broadcast all over the world, and it was the Collegiate Day of Prayer. If you'd go one more slide, there you see in the middle, there's Kevin Brown, tall, no hair. So the president is tall with no hair and very smart, and the chairman of the board is short with gray hair and not all that smart. But Kevin was there, and throughout this program, there were speakers to come in. Francis Chan, you may have heard of, Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life. They were to be there. But we said, no, the way this has gone has been very simplistic. Lights on, no smoke machines, no fancy anything, no screens with words on it. And that's the way we want to land this plan, this plane. And so on February 23rd, on Thursday, that Thursday, we had the Collegiate Day of Prayer that night, broadcast all over the world, and it happened from Hughes Auditorium. Now, do you think the Holy Spirit knew a little bit about timing and what was going to happen, what was going to be taking place in the days leading up to that? And the Lord blessed. So, Merle, if you would, take us to one more slide here. I'm going to just land this plane, if you will. By coming back, here are young men praying over each other, praying with each other at the altar there in Hughes. Merle, one more. We'll hold this one. Here's a young lady. Obviously, she is engaged in conversation and praise. Her Lord. What do we say about this? What does this mean to any of us here? It's not just an event. I can come and talk to you about whatever. And those of you that know me, I go to the Indy 500 every year. I could talk for this long about the Indianapolis 500. But that's not the purpose for being here today. Not only is it interesting information, but I wonder if we would challenge ourselves. I've been challenging myself for the last month, having experienced this both directly and indirectly. What does this mean for me? What would the Spirit say to me? I go back to Romans 12, 9 to 21. Can I love without hypocrisy? Can I be devoted, brotherly love all the time? Can I be at peace with all? And I can I overcome evil not with evil, but with love? Isn't that what we need? We need as individuals, we need as a world right now to be able to. Do I have humility, love, compassion, and hospitality? And if I do, can I put it into the radical category? And if not, why not? Come, Spirit, and allow that to be true. What I'd like to do, just to close this time, is if you would, bow your heads with me. I'm going to adapt the call to worship that we read just about an hour ago together. I'm going to adapt it. But there was a response, you'll remember, it's come, Holy Spirit, come. So would you say that with me when we get there? So it goes this way. When I feel alone and when I feel rejected, come, Holy Spirit, come. When I feel drained and dried up and when I can't give anymore, come, Holy Spirit, come. When I am unsure of how to move or where to go or what to do, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, revive us, move in us, encourage us on this journey of faith that is ours. Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit with the students and others that gathered at Asbury. Father, the proof in the pudding of all of this, not only what happened at Asbury, but what happens in our hearts and minds, spirits, even this morning, the proof in the pudding will be what happens next. So, Father, we look for your continued outpouring, draw us closer to you every day. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. We are grateful people. We love you, Father. And we give you thanks in the name of the Father and the Son and that Holy Spirit. Amen.